That's something, the thought of standing before the Lord complete. Did that touch you? I just looked and thought that, wow, there will be that day. Wow. I'd like to read to you chapter 11 of Exodus. We will not be reading all three chapters of Exodus 11 through 13. But I'd like to read to you chapter 11. It's just 10 verses, and it's on page 49. This is now going to be the 10th plague. Now the Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here. And when he does, he will drive you out completely. Tell the people that men and women alike are to ask their neighbors for articles of silver or gold. The Lord made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people, and Moses himself was highly regarded in Egypt by Pharaoh's officials and by the people. So Moses said, this is what the Lord, what Yahweh says. About midnight, I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die. From the firstborn son of Pharaoh who sits on the throne to the firstborn son of the female slave who is at her handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle as well. There will be loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there has ever been or ever will be again. But among the Israelites, not a dog will bark at any person or animal. Then you will know that the Lord, Yahweh, makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. All these officials of yours will come to me, bowing down before me and saying, go, you and all the people who follow you. After that, I will leave. Then Moses, hot with anger, left Pharaoh. The Lord had said to Moses, Pharaoh will refuse to listen to you so that my wonders may be multiplied in Egypt. Moses and Aaron performed all these wonders before Pharaoh, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the Israelites go out of his country. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, my mother is losing her memory. She still recognizes us. We can still have short but limited conversations with her. But she forgets. She forgets what she had for breakfast or lunch or dinner. She can forget if she's even eaten. She forgets what day of the week it is. She forgets that Paul and Kim and the girls have visited. She forgets that my sister Sue or Sosarai or Julie and the family have spent the afternoon. She forgets. But a couple of months ago, Paul and Julie had a stroke of brilliance. They brought Dad 10 or 12 carousels of slides. Do you remember those? Carousels, remember, do you know what slides are? Those little things with film in there. And so they brought the slide projector from home, and they began to show slides. And some of them are more than 60 years. Who was taking slides 60 years? My dad was. They even have pictures of their hoskab just before they were engaged. He has slides from 1956. So they brought the slide projector and they began to show slides, and it's incredible. And it's hard for my mom to communicate and express herself. But you know what? She remembers the experiences that those slides show. To hear her laughter or to watch her get teary or just to watch her enjoy us or the grandchildren enjoying the pictures is one of my greatest joys these days. Just seeing her smile, seeing, you know, when Mark says to my father, Grandpa, those are some nice Ray-Bans. Or when Ani says to my mother, Grandma, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. And my mom, we know she gets it because she gets sort of demure and a little embarrassed as she's saying it. And it's incredible. In fact, we're beginning to plan our weeks around Sunday night or other times when we can go to Grandma and Grandpa's and watch the slides together. Because those memories are something we want for all of us to share. See, something happens to us when we lose our memories, doesn't it? I mean, you who have had family members with Alzheimer's or have had strokes or concussions or aneurysms, you know what this is like. And even in our senior moments, don't they feel threatening? When you just can't remember. I mean, I have this expression that I've learned from my dad, and it's not in the dictionary. Whatchamacallit? Whatchamacallit? What's his name? What's her name? Whatchamacallit? We have this, but you know what it means. It's that moment where you can't get it. And see, it's without our memories, we begin losing ourselves. We feel like we're losing our sense of identity. And that's one of the reasons that pictures and stories from generation to generation are so important, because it's not just our personal identities that are endangered when we begin to forget, but it's our families, isn't it? If we don't remember the stories from grandma or grandpa or further down the line from the past, who are we then? Who are we if we lose our memories? You know, it's our community's memories, our church's memory. Even a national identity can be threatened if we forget. And our memories really do establish our identities. In some ways, we're always remembering who we really are. Always remembering who we really are. And I'm not sure about you, but I have certain old friends that if I have spoken to them on the phone, or I see them face to face, or I look at some old pictures with them or about that they're in, or hear old stories, I remember who I am. Because day to day, I can get lost in responsibilities, in relationship, and just, we're so going so hard. Who I am, who I desire to be, who I aspire to be, gets lost. Countless times, Sosie has heard me say after visits or congregations or conversations, you know, being with Marty or being with Dave, it reminds me of who I am. When I'm with them, I remember me. Is anyone else like that, where you've got certain people in your life that when you're with them, there's no question here. In many ways, I feel strengthened with who I really do want to be when I'm with them. Sometimes it's a grandparent, a parent, a friend. Sometimes it's a book, a movie. Anybody ever hear a song that doesn't just bring back memories, but it just strengthens, like, yep, that's me. That's me. This song, yep, that's it. They say that the smell, the sense of smell, is one of our strongest triggers, and I'll tell you, certain aromas, certain foods, they take me instantly back to Sosie's home in Einjar. Actually, not just the home, in her mom's kitchen. I smell, it's like, wait, where am I? Okay, get your bearings, Greg. No, you're here. But the smell, it brings me, and it's delicious. Anyway, it's just joy. Some hymns. We're having the hymn fest because singing hymns can remind us who we are. It isn't just the newest song that can be very meaningful, though new songs really can be meaningful, but some of the old ones, boy, they just have a power to recalibrate us. How many of you, when you hear the Heil Meersang or Der Vormjahr, or one of the Sharagans, you just come back, it's like, yep, this is me. This is what it means for me to follow Christ. See, these are so powerful. The stories, and particular stories about God's faithfulness, the way he's answered prayer, provided or rescued just they're anchors for me. And answered prayers, the way God's provided. Yeah, but it's testimonies that are the strongest for me. It's testimonies. See, when I hear someone share how Christ found them or loved them, opened the eyes of their hearts or brought them back to faith, to repentance, or when I share my story, it brings me back to reality that I'm small, that God is huge and amazing, that I'm in need of grace, I'm a sinner, that God came and found me, that Christ has given his life in my place, that he accepted my cry for mercy, he forgave me, he's changing me, he gave me a love and a passion for his word, he brought me into the body of Christ, he gave me friends, sins and particular sin that had dominated my life, it's lost their grip. See, when I hear a testimony or when I give mine, I realize God has given me a future. He's given me purpose. He's made me his child. And it's powerful. It's life-giving. But I've got to tell you, it can't be random. This remembering can't just be when a scent comes by, you smell a candle. It can't just be when you drive past a church and see a cross, or it can't just be when you hear a song or something comes to mind. We have to be intentional. We have to be intentional and intentionally plan our lives to remember what matters most. You might be thinking, wow, what does that have to do with the 10th plague? A whole lot. A whole lot. See, the long passage this morning that we're going to just come through is the Passover. It's the Passover where God says, I'm going to kill every firstborn Egyptian son and livestock. Everyone, I'm going to send a destroyer and they will be dead. But I will pass over the Hebrews. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month of your year. See, we have to intentionally remember. We have to intentionally plan to remember what our relationship with God is like. Do you do that? Do you on purpose remember what God has, what he's done? First thing we've got to do is we've got to remember that he is our rescuer. Pharaoh's heart's hard. He's reluctant to admit that Yahweh is God. He's rebellious. He's arrogant. And, I mean, did you notice that Moses is angry? It says he's hot with anger when he leaves Pharaoh. Imagine being God's spokesman, watching plague after plague after plague. And if you missed Badavili Mugo's sermon last week, go back online and listen to it. Over and over and over again, 9 times last week, 10th one today, God is pouring out his wrath in these different plagues. And Pharaoh just continues to resist. Imagine how Moses feels watching the Egyptians suffer because of their leader's arrogance. Imagine what it feels like, such needless suffering. Such needless destruction. But it isn't needless because Moses said it's going to take all 10. Pharaoh needs all 10 expressions of my sovereignty, of my authority, and of my power to finally admit that he's not God. That Yahweh alone is God. It's necessary for the people of Egypt to comprehend that their king was not God and that their gods were not the most powerful. Sometimes it takes us a little while to realize the truth, doesn't it? You ever find yourself so stubborn? You just think, gosh, what's it going to take for me to wake up sooner rather than later? Have you ever found yourself just seeming to walk into the same wall or tripping over the same rock that God puts there? Pharaoh is not just given as an example of a bad man. I'm convinced Pharaoh is given to us, and for the whole history of the people of Israel and now the people of God in Christ, so we have a negative example. Sometimes we think we can only learn from the positive examples. Nuh-uh. No way. You look at the negative example and say, I don't want to be like that. Because you or I could be just like Pharaoh, minus the headgear and the, you know, makeup and all that. We could be just as hard-hearted toward God. And so here we go. Are we going to be hard-hearted, or are we going to remember that God is God and he is our rescuer? And what's interesting is that up till now in Exodus, we've just heard the story. We just, verse after verse after verse is a story. And then we get this long description in chapter 12 of God telling the Israelites how they're supposed to celebrate the Passover. This is not your high school history book. This is not just a history book in general. It's not just a recounting of facts. If you do read through chapters 11 through 13, you'll see that Moses is interjecting commentary. He's saying, okay, this happened. Oh, by the way, God wants you to know this. You're supposed to do this. You are supposed to intentionally remember. You've got to intentionally remember. And so God commands us to remember. He gives specific, concrete ways for them to celebrate and commemorate what he has done. They were annually to reenact the rescue from Egypt. He changes their calendar. God changes their calendar so that the first day of every year is the day that he brought them out of bondage. When does your week start? When does your year start? Can you imagine you having your own personal calendar that starts on the day that Christ saved you? What would that do for your sense of who you are? July 14th, 1975. That's when my calendar started. They were to remember the day the Lord brought them out of Egypt, the day that he killed all the firstborn of Egypt, the day he allowed them to live. I mean, he changes their calendar and then says, for a week, you are supposed to have this feast called Unleavened Bread. Passover starts in the evening. Then all week, their food would be different. No leaven. They're going to have parakats the whole time. No, none of this nice, fancy pita bread. This is going to be parakats. It's going to be lavash. It's going to be thin bread, no leaven. They, on Passover night, they were supposed to eat bitter herbs. They didn't get to boil the meat. It had to be barbecued. Everything. Sacrifices would increase for the whole week. And everything was designed to intentionally remember God's involvement in their life. They had Passover. So I want to ask you, what in your life intentionally reminds you of God's central place for you? Is there anything? Is there anything in your life that you intentionally set in place? Can we do, we celebrate communion every Sunday. Next week, I'll be at the AUNA convention. Bodvili Mughal will be leading our church in the Lord's Supper. Doesn't matter who leads it, right? It doesn't matter. We celebrate it the first Sunday of every month. When I, in two previous churches of mine, when I got there, I said, we're going to be doing communion first Sunday of every month. And they looked at me and said, chill out, Bodvili. We don't do that. We celebrate communion 3 or 4 times a year, max. I said, really, why? Well, because it becomes meaningless if we do it so frequently. First Sunday of every month. First Sunday of every month. First Sunday of every month. How frequently do you think I should talk about our anniversary? If I celebrated our anniversary every month, would that frustrate Sosie? That'd probably just get her really upset. It's like, oh gosh, he's gonna remember it again. He's gonna thank God that he gets to marry me one more time. Good grief. How about my kids? What do you think? Birthdays? We're gonna celebrate your birthday every month. No, you know what? We're gonna celebrate your birthday every week. Oh, Dad, not again. Not again. Presents again? Oh, come on, Dad. See, if something means something to you, you can celebrate it every day. You know, I love the ancient churches because literally they celebrate communion, the Lord's Supper, every week. And I'll never forget going to Lake Sevan and seeing the churches, you know, up on the top of the lake and having my guide, this is back, gosh, 1984, the guide was telling me, he said, you know, these churches weren't just used on Sundays. They were used every morning, noon, and evening, and not just by the priests. The people would wake up, and before they ate, they would come to the churches. They would pray, the priest would read scripture to them, and they would celebrate the Lord. Then they'd come back at noon, they would celebrate again. And then in the evening, once again, they would hear the word of God, they would pray, and they would celebrate. Oh, that's just too much. It would become meaningless to me. Really? If it would become meaningless to you, you might want to come back to where this all started. Has Christ saved you? Has Christ rescued you from sin? Someone told me this morning, Bodvili, we should really tell people, well, it really wouldn't help to tell these people here. We should let everybody know who's not at church. You know, yeah, it really is hot here, but can you imagine how hot it is? So I'm going to commission our deacons to call everybody and say, bye. No, just kidding. We are not going to do that. But is that your heart? Is your heart that it would be too much to celebrate? Too much to set specific times? We'll come back to that in just a second. See, we need to remember because it's so easy to forget. He set this whole system up so that he could be central in our lives. And we leave him off to the side. Maybe give him an hour on a Sunday morning. Maybe an hour and a half. Finally, in this passage, well, let's try it one more time. What happened? Oh, gosh, I didn't write it in there. He demands a personal response. Our God demands a personal response. This is what's interesting about the Passover. He had commanded them to take the lamb, to take a bunch of hyssop. This is verse 22 of chapter 12. Dip it in the blood in the basin and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top of the sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. The previous plagues, the people didn't have to do anything. They just stayed where they were. The Egyptians got it, but the Hebrews in Goshen, they were safe. They did not have to do anything. Egyptians, cattle, their crops, they're gone. darkness, bright sunshine, always sunny in Goshen, that's great. But they did not have to do anything except to stay with the people of God. This one, though, if their firstborn was going to live, they had to be all in. It wasn't just going along with it. They had to make a personal commitment, a personal action to kill the lamb, take the brush, put it up on top, on the two sides of the door, and that was it. They had to demonstrate a personal commitment that I'm in with the living God, not just this passivity. Now, I'm guessing some of you know exactly where I'm going with this. Don't raise your hands, but some of us, me included, have in the past just sort of gone along, been involved in church, even gone to Sunday school, been involved with the people of God, those who are experiencing the blessing of God, and just sort of gotten close enough that a little bit rolls off onto us. Don't raise your hands. You may know some people like that. They come, they want to be involved around followers of Christ because God's grace is upon us. But they have yet to make the decision to say, I'm all in. Later we read that anybody can celebrate the Passover. You didn't have to be born into the family of Abraham, but you had to be circumcised. No one who was uncircumcised could share in the Passover. And God took it so seriously that if you did, or if you tried to celebrate Passover and weren't circumcised, you were separated from the people. See, it says, we're told that when the people left, a lot of other people went with them who weren't Hebrews, who weren't part of the 12 tribes. See, if you try to celebrate the Passover without demonstrating your commitment, you try to celebrate it later, but you're not circumcised, you're not a part of things, and you may actually even die. It's not quite clear. See, if there's someone here today, and you've been spending time around the people of God, and you have yet to say, I'm in, I do believe that Christ loves me. I do believe that I can ask him to forgive my sins, and he will. Don't delay. Don't delay, because while the blessings are here among us, God demands a personal response to receive his gifts of grace. And so I've got to ask you, we're going to finish up now, how are you going to intentionally plan your life to remember God's place in your life? So monthly we have communion. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Yes, it'll be hot next week. And yes, you could do it again in August. But come and celebrate the Lord's presence with his people. Celebrate the gift of Christ, completely undeserved, that he's offering us forgiveness and fellowship with him. Okay, so how about weekly? What are you going to do weekly to intentionally remind yourself that God's central? Sundays? Great. Great. When you're on vacation, plan ahead. Do you know that there are churches pretty much anywhere where you're going to go on vacation this summer? Pretty much anywhere, maybe not entirely, but you can find a church. The internet's an incredible thing. You can find a church, you can even get directions and the times of the worship services. See, these phones aren't all bad. They can be really great. And again, you can get your map right there. Your Bible studies, keep them up. Do you know that historically, followers of Jesus Christ have taken a day or two every week to fast, to intentionally skip meals? Not because they're dieting, so that they can remember that their truest hunger is only met in Christ. The Jews would fast Wednesdays and Saturdays, and so the Christians, they shifted it to Tuesdays and Fridays. This was the early church. And then after the Reformation, Methodists, particularly those who followed John Wesley, they adopted that the Tuesday-Friday and said, we're going to fast. Have you ever considered doing that to remember Christ as central in your life? People are laughing at me in the office because I'm trying to switch my calendar these last couple weeks to start on Monday. And whenever you do that, so you start Monday and then you finish off the weekend. And I was thinking, oh, that works out really well for me because, you know, Sunday is one of my big work days, and so that should be at the end of the week. But after studying this, I thought, you know what? No, I'm not going to do that. I need to make sure my week in my own mind starts on what day? The Lord's Day. Today, the day of worship, that starts our week. Again, historically, our calendars have done that. It's only been recently that in our workaholism and our efficiency, we've changed that. How about daily? Daily Bible reading, daily prayer, daily fellowship, phone calls, texts, emails, lunches, breakfasts, meals, daily journaling, daily scripture memory. I'm going to just warn you, you will not randomly or casually fall into a faithful relationship with Christ. It only happens if we're intentional. It only happens if we're intentional. The word to remember in Hebrew is zakar, okay? Don't be impressed that I remember one word from 2 years of Hebrew study. It's pretty weak. But I remember this word. Do you know why I remember this word? It's because it's used hundreds of times, more times than most other words in the entire Hebrew scriptures. Are you getting it? God knows that it's not just my mom who's losing her memory. God knows that it's not just seniors who lose their memories. It's not just Alzheimer's victims that lose their memories. Every one of us is prone to lose our memories of the centrality of Christ in our lives, of the core of our rescue, of Passover, of the deliverance, not just from Egypt, but from sin and judgment. So what's your plan? What are you going to do? Don't leave here and say, oh gosh, that was a long sermon. I wish he had stopped 15 minutes ago. Don't leave saying, oh, what do we got today? Oh, it's so hot out here. No, leave today committed to plan to remember. Commit a specific plan. And would you please give me a gift? This would be huge. In the bulletin is my email. Would you please just email me and say, this is my plan. It may be one thing. They were called to remember what God had done. Please, email me. Let me know one thing you're going to plan to do in your daily, weekly, monthly, whatever it is in your life, to remember that the living God not only took a lamb and its blood saved his people, but the living God gave his own son. Precious, unblemished, the Lamb of God to save us from our sin. Don't forget that. Amen.